Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. I want to take a moment to thank FreshBooks for sponsoring Hack the Entrepreneur. FreshBooks is the easy-to-use invoicing software designed to help small business owners like you get organized, save time invoicing, and get paid faster. From accepting credit cards to get paid online, to tracking expenses via their iPhone and Android apps, FreshBooks allows you to get organized and stay organized throughout the year, so as you approach year end like we are right now, you won't feel so stressed by it. Try FreshBooks for free today. Go to freshbooks.com/hack and enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's freshbooks.com/hack.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is an avid gardener, mother, international trade consultant, and a brilliant, brilliant entrepreneur. From her kitchen table in Australia, my guest began sewing reusable bags. Within 4 years of founding EnviroSacks, she had scaled from her kitchen to 60 separate global markets and became the world's number one reusable bag company. Her bags have been used by Justin Timberlake, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Malia Obama, as well as countless, countless others. She then took that knowledge she gained dealing with manufacturing in China and overseas and founded a consultancy company called Beluco Consulting. Now, let's hack Belinda Coker. I'd like to take a moment to tell you about today's sponsor, Cervata, a rapidly growing startup that has reinvented how you get consumer research for every decision. Testing creative, measuring demand for new products, tracking consumer trends, and more. Picture this. Imagine debating with a colleague about which logo to pick for a new product or discussing a consumer trend. They'll go by gut feel, while you will use Cervata to ask hundreds of highly targeted consumers overnight to give you hard data for your decision. Cervata's secret is brand new tech that collects respondents via the scale of the web, as opposed to slow and old-fashioned panels. The best part for Hack the Entrepreneur listeners? Name your own discount. Cervata will match the respondents you purchase at no cost with no limit. Need to reach 200 millennial females in Florida? You'll get 400 for the same price. 2,000 baby boomers in the Midwest? You'll get 4,000. All of you have a decision this week that requires reliable data, so why wait? To redeem this free offer, visit cervata.com/hack. That's cervata.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very, very special guest, all the way from the other side of the world. Belinda, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show, John. Oh, it's a pleasure.
Absolutely my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure. All right, Belinda, let's jump straight into this, shall we?
Okay.
Belinda, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
John, I would say it would not be so much what I do, but my mindset. And it's sort of like a tagline to my life or my business. And it's on all my Twitter and everything. And it's, the world is just one global community. And, you know, sure, there's a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I get that. I sell internationally on Etsy, or my company often sends me to an office in Toronto and I work from there. I mean, you know, you and I have Skype. We're having a conversation right now. I'm just about to have my morning cup of coffee and you're probably eyeing up that red wine to drink with your filet mignon. But having an understanding that the world is just one global community goes a lot further than that. The reality is a lot of people can't actually put themselves in another culture and work within it effectively. And the greater the difference in culture, the greater the fall people tend to make. And I see that every week with my current project, which is Beluco Consulting. And I've actually written a number of blogs about this on my site now. And I also currently write for Teo Roxon's UDC media site on international relationships and how this affects business practices.
Wow. So yeah, the ability to place yourself into somebody else's, is that what you mean? Like, to imagine what's happening on the other side of the world and to kind of be able to make that connection business-wise?
Well, yes. And right now, what Bluka Consulting assists people manufacture in China. So it assists them source production and do the quality control, but it also helps people distribute in other parts of the world as well. So when we're talking, let's say, something which is far removed from Western culture, from, say, American society, and that would be the Chinese way of doing business, the Chinese culture. And they're basically like chalk and cheese. They're so different that it's sometimes it's hard to find a common ground. And what happens is a lot of people, they go to another culture and they expect that things are done their way. And people fall in a heap, especially if they're doing business in China. And it could also be if you're doing business in Europe, if you're doing business in, say, in an Arab nation, there are certain aspects of that culture that you do have to be so aware of. One example would be if a company decides to go over to China and get an agreement together. So Americans or Westerners, Australians, most Westerners have this idea that they're just going to fly in, have a meeting, have a couple of meetings, sit around the boardroom table and sign that deal and walk away with a deal secured, with everybody happy. And that kind of thing just isn't going to happen, especially if you're dealing with China. You really have to spend a lot of time building a relationship, because before you build a relationship, nobody's going to trust each other. And, you might walk away from the meetings with a signed contract, but it won't be a win-win situation. And, and there's so many other sort of little examples that I could give you, but I think it's extremely important, considering how global our business community is now, to have an understanding of how other people, think, react, work, and carry on their normal business lives.
Yeah, that's excellent. I love that. The world is one global community. And is this something that you sort of learned from business, or is this something you've maybe taken from, is this something that you kind of have within you? Like, are you a traveler that can always do this, or is this something you specifically learned within the business realm?
Well, I probably started to get an inkling about it when I was 18 years old. After I left high school, I put a backpack on my back and I left and explored the great world. I had this great overseas experience where I, traveled to all these wonderful places. So I've always kind of been a little bit of a nomad anyway. And when I started a company called EnviroSax, it wasn't very difficult for me to not only start selling in Australia, but at the same time start selling in Europe and Canada and Asia. And I, within 4 years, EnviroSax had reached 60 countries. And to me, it was just like doing business in another state or in a village just down the road. With my mindset, I didn't think selling to Japan or going to Japan and setting up and doing a trade show was any different to doing it in Sydney as opposed to Melbourne. So I think my mindset has carried me through my business life. And yes, my business experiences have solidified my tagline that the world is just one global community.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so you're running Beluco now, and before that you mentioned EnviroSax, and then before that was backpacking around the world after school. So somewhere in here, I want to figure out when this was, because there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or they find that they simply just cannot work for somebody else anymore. So, Belinda, could you tell me which side of the fence you fall on and when you discovered this about yourself?
Well, I started in Envirosex when I had three children under the age of five, or one was five and two were under the age of 18 months old. And I was looking down the barrel of going back into corporate world and dropping kids off at daycare at 6:30 a.m. and picking them up at 6:30 p.m. and possibly even being able to say goodnight to them, you know. And the whole concept, it was just, you know, it put me into a bit of a downer. It really was a down stage of mine. And I think when you get to that stage and you will do anything not to do what you don't want to do, that's when you get your aha moment. And that's when I got the idea to make these reusable bags. And we're talking about back in 2004 when reusable bags or environmentalism wasn't a corporate word. Back in 2004, it's hard to believe today, but back in 2004, we really didn't give a stuff. So I got this aha moment of bringing this product into the market when it was on right at the beginning of its rise into popularity. So, yeah.
Wow. And so how did you get the idea? Because you have two very sort of like, maybe they're not, when I really think about it, maybe they're not totally disparate sort of businesses, like from reusable bags to now like global international business consultant. It makes sense because you probably figured out the second business while doing the first one.
Yeah.
But what like, I understand what kind of sparked that aha moment, but like was this an urge you saw, or did you read something that was like, that's it?
No.
And you saw like an opening in the market, or?
I have a design background and also a PR. So PR was what I did in my schooling and my spare time. I did pattern making, couture pattern making, and I was also a milliner. So, and a milliner makes hats. So I was making handmade or handcrafted hats and selling them for $500 each. These were lovely. You know, you couldn't even see a stitch on the hats. They were handcrafted that well. But so I've got design in my background and I've got PR. So I had those are the two things that I had in my hand. And I saw a pile of reusable bags. Reusable bags had kind of just started to make them to the market in Australia, but they were green, they were ugly, and they were made of polypropylene. So they were not nice. And I never remembered to take them in the car because they were big and bulky, and I just never remembered. And plus I had three children, so I probably had baby brain. So I came up with this idea that if I made these bags pretty and fashionable, then maybe that would be a market, an opening in a market. And so I got to work. I had a sewing machine on my kitchen table and, you know, and I had my design background. And then I sort of started to tout my wares and just sort of, you know, knocking on doors and getting my product out there. Yeah. So...
And
that's actually how that started. Yeah.
Wow. And so from your kitchen table with a sewing machine, designing this yourself to literally like scaling around the world.
Yeah, basically. And we were very, very lucky. We got images of my bag of Sarah Jessica Parker, Jessica Alba, Justin Timberlake, Malia Obama. So what they are doing is they're actually carrying them. They're not like standing there holding it at some sort of, you know, some sort of celebrity gifting sort of show. They're actually using them on the streets, you know, like in pictures of celebrities with weird looks on their faces, you know. That.
That's so excellent.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it really was. It was great. And then.
And so did it make sense? Like when you, at what point from the kitchen table to where it scaled completely globally, at what point did you realize that it could scale globally? I guess probably when you're sitting at your kitchen table, you didn't think, because a lot of people make a lot of things at their kitchen table and sell them on Etsy now. Do all kinds of, but it never scales globally.
John, I don't even think I can come up with an answer for that, because it was so fast and it just happened so organically. And it was a real trip. It really was. It was like this huge roller coaster. I mean, when you're on a roller coaster, you're not quite sure when it's going to stop, when it's going to just, you know, cause when I go on a roller coaster, I have my eyes closed. But it just mushroomed, and it got very big, and I got to a stage where I thought, you know, I'm now managing a company. I'm no longer doing the design. I'm no longer doing what I really enjoy. And I loved going to China and producing the bags. Hmm. I loved going to China. I loved being in Asia. I loved that part of it. And I had a lot of people come to me and say to me, "How do you do it? I've got this great idea. I've got this idea for a hard covering to go on these new things called iPhones. What do I do? You know, how do I make these?" And so what I did is I had a production manager. Well, I still have him. He's my number one employee. He's been with me right from when I first made my EnviroSec samples. He's living in Shanghai. And I started to contract out my staff to assist other people manufacture in China. And that was where my focus kind of shifted.
Yeah. And so that went into Beluco.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, Belinda, let's move on to work. So every expert now is talking about the 80-20 rule, right? So do 20% of the work, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at and then delegate the rest. Belinda, within your business right now, can you tell me something that you're absolutely not good at?
Okay, I'm far better at the 80-20 now than I used to be. I was so bad at it. Right now, I would say the one thing that I'm not good at is when I get stressed, I end up being like a rabbit in front of headlights. And I'm learning to get around that. I've started swimming every morning when you swim lengths, you have to take a deep breath every 6 seconds and you have to let it out slowly. And you do that for 1 kilometer. So 20 lengths of the pool is 1 kilometer. And that really kind of helps. The thing is managing stress, because if you can't manage stress, you're no good to anybody.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And that's a great way to do it. I've never thought of that. Swimming, and it slows your breathing. And then,
yeah.
So, I mean, the exercise obviously helps as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then so with work, I'd love to know sort of a morning routine that you might have. Like today's a work day and you work obviously completely globally because that's what you purport, even that's what the world is. I mean, that's what your business is at this point. So I'm sure amongst time zones, it probably gets confusing. But I would like to know if you have a morning routine, say the first 30 or 60 minutes from when you wake up to when you kind of set yourself up for the day to get the things done that you need to within your business.
Okay, with that, I would say I split my time up between the Gold Coast in Sydney and Melbourne. I seem to have a lot of clients down here, so it just sort of makes sense for me to do that. But when I am on the Gold Coast, I swim every morning and I have an underwater MP3 player. I've actually joined a squad team, so it drives the person nuts because I can't concentrating on what the MP3 player says. But I have a notebook at the end of every length, at the end of the length of every pull, and I actually got it from one of my daughters. It's one of those ones that you can actually write and it's waterproof, and I suppose you can do that in the shower as well. But I write down everything that every idea that I have, I write it down on a piece of paper. Lots of people want to use Evernote or they, you know, want to use things on their computer. For me, that doesn't work. Maybe I'm old school. I don't know. But I kind of think that when you've got the pen in your hand and you're actually writing on a piece of paper, that, I don't know, for some reason, that sort of solidifies it in your mind. Do you understand what I mean?
I do. I'm actually writing and taking notes as we do this conversation. I do it all day long. I just, even they're scribbly notes, but they work so much better than Evernote.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's not what I do in the morning, but I generally, I mean, the other thing is that I also still have 3 children.
Right. So they kind of dictate your morning for you.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do. But I think the thing is that you need to set yourself up for what you are going to do that day. And you may have made notes the night before and said, right, tomorrow I'm going to do X, Y, Z. But you need to take a fresh look at it every day and say, right, what's on my plate for today? What do I need to achieve today? And what comes in as a secondary, as a second priority.
I love it. Can you tell me what's on that MP3 player? What do you listen to while you're swimming?
I listen to podcasts, but
nice.
Yesterday I was actually listening to the Bible.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah.
So you don't listen to your Australian AC/DC or something? Like?
No. Sometimes I listen to music, but a lot of the time I listen to Bibles. I've just done because I'm just new at blogging. So I've just done a whole blogging series. I mix it up. You know, sometimes I listen to, you know, something humorous sometimes, but a lot of the time I use it as my time to learn.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. I love it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. We're going to move on to projects, Belinda. Projects is a very loose term. So this can be either something big, like, I mean, starting a whole new business like Beluco, or something simple like starting to blog. Something that you decide that you want to put your time, energy, and resources into now. I would love to, if you could just explain to me personally, sort of the process you go through in deciding when a project is now worth your time and energy and resources.
I think I'm one of those shocking entrepreneurs that gets an idea and suddenly switches gears and goes, wow, that's really good. I'm just going to start working on that. And I've learned to say, right, no, that's a great idea. Let's mull it over. Let's continue to think. Let's continue to plan it out. And then we'll work through the steps. So right now I'm learning to blog, and I'm blogging, and I'm actually working doing some blogs for Tao Rocks and UGC Media, which I may have mentioned before. So my next project is to do an online course. So I contacted a friend of mine who helps people set up online courses, and she said, yeah, great, let's get into it. And I said, yeah, great, this is really, really good. Yeah, so, you know, when can we get it up and running by? January? Yeah, that's great. And then I stepped back and I thought, hang on a minute. If I'm going to do this properly, I really need to set myself up some steps. So this is what I've actually started to do now, because I do this with all of my clients. I've got clients that say, hey, I want to bring out some bamboo towels by Christmas, or by, you know, to be on the ship by Chinese New Year. And I'm sort of saying to them, well, you can't, because we've got all these steps that we've got to go through. So in order for me to do something that adds value to other people and is also a quality product, I'm going to need to put certain steps in place. And it's actually quite funny, because I'm just realizing that I'm saying the exact same things as I am in an ebook I've just written on quality control.
Wow.
So, and I've just realized that just as I was talking to you. So I'm just starting to put steps. I'm planning it out. I've got, you know, we've got a big time ahead of us. You know, you guys have got Thanksgiving. We've got, we call it Christmas. You call it the holiday season. And, you know, and I've got 2 months of school holidays to deal with. You know, I'm just going to take my time and get it right. And all of your listeners are going to appreciate that.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I did like that you are so much like the rest of us. Just that you get this idea, let's just run with it. January, it'll be out then.
Yeah.
So basically you're realizing that you have to learn to say no, or at least let's think about it, or put it off, or put it into a reasonable time frame.
Yes, reasonable time frame, definitely. I mean, for me, it's something, as soon as I got the idea, I thought, well, actually, somebody else gave me the idea. They said, oh, you should be doing this. And I thought, yeah, that would be really neat, because I kind of sound like a bit like a broken record a lot of the time, John. I'm giving all these people this advice, and it's over and over and over again. So if I could just put it in a course, then, you know, I can sort of give that to the people and say, well, you know, because it's the same information for, you know, no matter what you're producing in China. You could be producing in electronics to textiles to printing to something which you use plastic injection molding. Doesn't matter what you're making, the rules are all the same.
Yeah, that'll be a brilliant course. It will. Mm. It'll be helpful to so many people.
Yeah.
That's definitely the way to leverage your knowledge too.
Yeah.
Okay, so not a specific project, but the idea of projects and finally deciding after mulling it over, like you're going to start doing, to go into a project. And here's one of the, like, as entrepreneurs, right? I mean, one of our greatest struggles is that fear of being wrong, making mistakes, and failing. So you've decided to do a project and go for it. And something all of a sudden just doesn't work out. Could you, Belinda, tell us how to be wrong?
Yeah, suck it up, princess. And by that, I mean, okay, you're wrong, get over it. You know, you're wrong, you know, just either change it to make it right or stop doing it and just let it go. But always, if you are wrong, especially if you're wrong with other people or within a business environment, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that you're wrong. It actually sickens me to see grown men and women, but trying to hide the fact or cover up that they've been wrong. That doesn't ring my bell at all. Because we can all be wrong. We have all been wrong in our lives at least once, some of us many times, and that's how you learn. And sometimes being wrong, you can actually find the right way and it can be a better way.
So very well said. Absolutely. There's no way to be in this game of entrepreneurship or in any way successful if you've never, ever, ever been wrong.
No way.
Exactly. It's impossible. And that's the whole point. That's how you learn. That's how you figure it out. And then you can learn from others who have also done it. But that was a great, great answer. All right, Belinda, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on one final question, if we could. So this is for your whole career, I guess, as an entrepreneur and everything you've accomplished up till this point, which, I mean, is amazing from just one business you've started from literally your kitchen table to the world and now into a whole nother business, which most people never get the shot of the first one like that. And now you're already gone on to another one. And I love that.
Yeah.
So could you tell me if there was some unfortunate thing that happened and your career was to end today, would you be happy with the legacy that you've left behind up till now?
Okay, well, this is actually a very interesting question, John, because last Friday I woke up to the fact that I was 50 years old. It was my birthday last Friday and I was 50. And when you get to a milestone birthday, you know, it does give you a lot of time for reflection, especially when it's something like 50. When it's 40, it's, you know, roaring 40s, great, I've got a 40th birthday party tonight. And you don't really give it a lot of thought. Well, I didn't anyway. But when it comes to being 50, I had a really good long look at what I've done. That whole day, actually, I was really mulling it over. And I actually thought about what would happen if my life ended today. And I would be really, really quite happy at what I've done. At the same time, I still feel that I've still got half my life to live. I didn't think, oh, well, I've only got 30 more years. I didn't think like that. I thought, right, okay, my life is half full. And what can I achieve within the next, you know, the sequel to my life? Now, I know that isn't exactly answering the question you've asked, but I think as long as you're content with how full your cup is and what you've actually achieved so far, then it doesn't matter what age you go to the grave. I think you're a success.
Yeah. First off, happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Second, you definitely should be very happy with what you've achieved up till this half full point. And I can't wait really to see what you accomplish with the other half, because it's been an impressive first half and I know you're going to top it again. So it's impressive.
Thank you.
All right, Belinda, we've got to talk about your business in passing, but could you specifically tell the listener where to find out more about you, your blogging, and your business?
Sure, sure. My website is belluco.com, which is BELLOUCO.com. And I do have an ebook on my site, which is available, which is free. And that is the 5 top tips on quality control. Now, the 5 top tips on quality control they're actually written for China. However, they can actually be used in a local environment, even with your local upholsterer that you're getting something upholstered with. So that's something that is a giveaway on my site. I do have a scheduler also on my site. And if anybody wants to talk to me, I do have a 15-minute opening. I have a 15-minute free call openings that people can actually call me and say, and even if you just want to run something by me and say, you know, I've got this great idea for 2 pieces of plastic that go together with the spring and hold things on a clothesline. You know, if anyone's got anything and they just want to talk, I'm quite happy. I'm quite open to talk to people because when people have ideas, sometimes it's quite difficult to find people to talk to about it.
Yeah. What a just a generous offer. I love it.
Yeah.
And definitely take Belinda up on that because that is an offer that doesn't come by all the time. 15 minutes free to talk to Belinda. That's excellent. So that's belluco.com. I will link to that and I'll find the ebook on that site and link to it in the show notes. So they're very easy for you to find. And yeah, go check out what Belinda is writing and what her business is all about. So once again, Belinda, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. And please just keep doing what you're doing because it is really awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you, John. And I really appreciate the time. It was lovely speaking to you as well.
Belinda, thank you so much for the excellent conversation. I really, really, really enjoyed that. I hope you out there listening enjoyed that as much as I did. Belinda and I actually had some trouble making the connection and getting this to work. It took us numerous tries, but I'm so happy right now that we finally made it work because that was an excellent conversation. And Belinda, she gave excellent responses to so many of the questions. And I love her story. I love the kitchen table to scaling globally to then I'm going to start another business. I love the ambition. I think it's contagious. So it's good to obviously surround yourself with people like that and get to have conversations and listen to conversations with people like Belinda, because I think it helps pull all of us in the right direction and to bigger things. So yeah, I do hope that you got as much from that as I did. So going back and listening, because all these notes I have and remembering the conversation and remembering the great answers to so many different questions that I asked, and it was hard, right? It's always hard to go back and sort of bring it right down, just distill the conversation down from 28 minutes, then down and down and down until you get it to just this one thing. But once I did that, it was so obvious. It was right there. That one thing that Belinda said was just right there in front of me. Did you get it? Did you hear it?
Suck it up, princess. And by that, I mean, okay, you're wrong. Get over it. You know, you're wrong. You know, just either change it to make it right or stop doing it and just let it go.
And that's the hack. Belinda. Yes, yes, yes. I love this. And this is a question I love asking people, and not everybody gives me this great of an answer, though. I love it. Suck it up, princess. It's so excellent. This is so true. We have to get over ourselves, right? So how to be wrong is the question I ask, not because obviously we want to be wrong. I don't want to talk about failures. It's not something that we strive for in business. But we have to learn that this is part of life. This is part of business. Things, so many things that you will do will be completely wrong, and you have to suck it up. You have to take it. You have to run with it and sort of learn to almost thrive on it. And then, okay, so you're wrong. You get to this point where something you've decided to do, some project, something you've decided to put your time, energy, and resources into comes back, the feedback comes back, and this is wrong. So what can you do? You can force it and pretend that, no, you're right. You can try and blame it on someone else. That's not going to do anything for you, right? So you have to get over it. And then you have to either change it, change direction, learn from what you did and change direction, or like, it's, you can't just pretend that you weren't wrong. It's so foolish and it's so egotistical, and it will not help you or your business to grow. So you have to absolutely just stop doing it. Acknowledge the mistake. If you have an employee or employees, and your employees, one of them did something wrong, you should even take the fall for it. It's you. You're the one in charge, and you have to learn to accept responsibility. You have to accept responsibility for everything. There's nothing worse to me than people who want to blame every sort of external variable in their life and around them and in life in general. That is, it's all that fault of why I'm not where I want to be. It's like, no, it's not. It's you. Okay, you got to step up and you got to accept these things. You have to admit that what you did wasn't exactly right, and know that that's fine. That's completely perfect. Really, if you're right 50% of the time in business, you're golden. You'll knock it out of the park. Trust me. It's the ability to admit it, though, and then to learn from it and to not make that mistake again. So key. And I love the simplicity of, how do you be wrong? Suck it up, princess. So next time you make a mistake and you want to just sort of cover it up and pretend that maybe you weren't right, just go back to this and listen to Belinda as she just says, suck it up, princess. Learn from that mistake, acknowledge it and own it, and just move forward. It's what we have to do. And I love it. Thanks so much, Belinda. All right. That was fun. As always, so great. Hacktheentrepreneur.com. Go up there. You can see on the navigation menu at the very top right corner now, there's a little section that says book. Whoa. You can click that. You can get almost access to my book. If you listen to this when it comes out, then it's not quite. But you can get on the email list to get notified. It'll be out in less than a week. But December 14th, if you're listening to this on December 14th or after, the book is out. Should go. Amazon, Hack the Entrepreneur, the book. I think you'll love it. I put a lot of work into it, and I'm so excited about it. It's so great. I actually read the first really big section of it on Kindle and just over this weekend, and it's amazing. Not amazing that it's like the greatest book ever. I'm really proud of it. And it was cool to read. It had been so long since I wrote the introduction. And Chris Brogan, one of my faves, he was the first person that I ever interviewed for this show 170 episodes ago. And he wrote the foreword for the book, and I got to read it for the first time on the Kindle. It was so great. I loved it. So I can't wait to get into your hands. So yeah, if it's December 14th or past, then please go grab yourself a copy. htebook.com is the place to find it. If it's before the 14th, get on the email list. I'd love to have you on there. All right. Enough about me. Enough about my book. Thank you so much for stopping by again. Truly, truly, truly appreciate it. You know that you can reach out to me at any point, right? john@hacktheentrepreneur.com. Spell John any which way you want. With an H, without an H. It's actually without an H. J-O-N or Johnny. They all come to my inbox now. And yeah, I'd love to hear from you. Feedback. Tell me something you like. Tell me somebody you'd love to hear on the show. And I will try and get them on the best I can. So I would love to hear from you. john@hacktheentrepreneur. But other than that, thank you again. Totally appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.